I am excited, absolutely excited to see each and every one of you for one particular reason, because you hold within you the very love of God and the very indwelling Holy Spirit. And because of that, it just beams and shines on your countenance. It radiates from you. It is not something you try. It just happens because it's spiritually done. And it's a blessing to be around those kinds of folks that radiate the joy of the Lord and that just exude forth the Spirit of God. And that's what's so awesome. So thank you for that this morning, and thank you for being such an encouragement just with your presence and with your countenance. It's a blessing. We are going to start to wrap up our Project 25 this morning, maybe a week or so out, but we're going to start wrapping that up as we head through this. And last week, we took a lot of time to stop and take a little bit of a spiritual gifts inventory. Now, why would we do that? Why would that be something that we stop and take a whole 20, 25 minutes to kind of go through a few pieces of paper and indicate what our gifts might be? What would be the purpose in that? What do you think? Couldn't have said it better myself. To take the focus off of what I can't do and to really put the focus on what I can and why I can. Because I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthens. And that is the goal. That's exactly what he does. The Spirit comes and strengthens where you and I may not have the strength. The Spirit comes and operates and performs where you and I don't have the ability to operate and perform. He does these things all on his own because he is inside of us and he indwells us and he knows what these divine appointments are with other people, whether they be lost folks that he intends us to witness to for salvation or whether they be saved folks that have some measure of encouragement or exhortation needed in their life. He knows this and he strengthens you to the task, and oftentimes you don't even realize it till the moment you're in it. Right? It's almost like I don't have the grace ahead of time and I don't have the grace after the fact. I have the grace right when it's needed. And the grace of God does that through the Spirit and the gifts that we have. And so we wanted to point to that to change our focus from what can't be done and say, hey, what can? What can? And in what direction maybe should I point that can? And that's why we wanted to look at that and say, hey, now as I look through mine, I'm not going to ask you to share yours, but as I look through my test from last week, the two that topped the chart equally with the equal amount of number was, and you're not going to believe it, I know you're going to be absolutely shocked, it was prophecy, shocker right there, right? And mercy. Well, now that's the shocker, because my wife was like, no, that is not you. Mercy is not, that test is wrong. And so I had to remind, I says, honey, listen, it's not about whether or not you have the gift. It's how it's executed. And so it's not that I don't have mercy for people, or that my heart doesn't go out to people, or that I don't see a circumstance and really want to jump in and help. Sometimes it is the way it's executed. And the funny thing about prophecy and mercy is prophecy, now in the original sense, prophecy is to get out there and prophesy, right? Like a prophet would. The word of God comes to you and you go out there and you share that word of God and you prophesy something. And there were all kinds of prophets in Israel that did this. How well were most of their prophecies received? Why? Because they were convicting. And the thing about I tell my wife, if you're going to mix prophecy and mercy together, what you're going to see is somebody who senses a need and comes at it with the word of God. And oftentimes it is in a convicting fashion rather than this grand, merciful, oh, you did this and got yourself into this problem because you just refused to give up your sin. Oh, you poor thing, let me come help you. And you did this because you refused to obey and listen and you are paying the consequences. Oh, let me just get you right out of that. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's aiding and abetting, right? When I was in the sheriff's office, we learned all about aiding and abetting. You know, and people would be surprised that because you drove the getaway car, you're going to be just as guilty as the people that actually went in and held the gun at someone's head and robbed the bank. And they're like, well, all I did was drive. Why am I getting the 25-year to life? You aided and abetted. So I don't aid and abet. And I tell my wife, it's not the gift, it's the execution of the gift that is a little off, maybe. And so she's like, oh, because, yeah, you're just not really, you don't show my idea of mercy. I was like, okay, well, we'll have to go through that. So obviously I have things to work on in the way I execute that gift that I get. But there they were. That was the top two. And then the funny thing was that the one right underneath it that was 1 point off was teaching. And I would have to say, if I look at myself, I am more a teacher than a preacher. And how do I know that? Because when I get up here and speak, what is like 40 of the 45 minutes on? Explain, let's dig through the scriptures, let's go from Genesis to Revelation and see how this applies all the way across the board. And then last 5 minutes, here's how this applies. That's a teacher. A teacher wants you to see something. Ah, I see that, I understand that. The preacher's all about, go do it, get out there and do this. You know, let's pour on this and pour on that and just set you up to go do. And that's really what application does, right? Application is, ah, not I see that, but now that I see that, I'll do that. I'll get out there and do that. And this is for me. This is what I'm supposed to do with this information. So I thought that was funny. I thought maybe they're in reverse order. Anyway, and then comes administration. That was number three. What is administration? That is the kind of detail orientation. That is the kind of trying to vision cast. That's the kind of putting things in order and organizing and that type of stuff. And you can see that a lot in Pastor's son Trent as well, organizing, getting things administratively put together, that kind of thing. Just someone who comes behind and you say, this is what I want to do. And someone comes behind and just basically puts it all together for you and executes, you know, organization. So I have always looked at that and thought maybe administration should have been the highest. But either way, it's really just a test that points you in a direction. None of this was foolproof. None of this was like, this is exactly what your gift is. This is definitely the number one, and don't you dare deny it, and you really don't have number six if you didn't get number six. You know, it's not that at all. It's just kind of a thing saying, hey, if I want to take my eyes off what I can't do and put it on what I can do, what can I do, and what really should I start with? What I should start with or where God has gifted me, because what is the purpose for these gifts? What is their purpose? That's exactly it. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, 1 Corinthians 5:7, and he means all within the church body. To profit this church body, to profit the universal church body. Wherever believers are, you're gifted to profit that group of believers that you encounter, wherever that is. So gifts are the manifestation of Spirit to benefit the body of Christ, and they're to profit all. They're available to all believers and distributed by God's grace according to his will, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. And so we understand these gifts and what they're to do. And then we also understand that we have things in the scripture that tell us how to use them. Earnestly desire certain gifts, pursuing love and desiring spiritual gifts, but especially that you may do certain pieces and parts of them, not quenching the Spirit, not despising prophecies or gifts, not neglecting the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy and the laying on of hands. He's telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 14, and then to stir up the gift of God. And so that's what we're trying to do, and that's why we focused here. After all, when it comes to vision, mission, and values, if we are to be a vibrant Christian community, what happens inside that vibrant Christian community? It walks in, it's led by the Spirit of God, which means it shows fruit from the Spirit, it produces that spiritual fruit, and it exercises gifts of the Spirit. That's how you know whether or not your body, your church, is vibrant. Does it walk in the Spirit? Is it led by the Spirit? Is it producing the fruits of the Spirit? Is it exercising the gifts of the Spirit? So when it comes to our vision, and we're talking about being that way, that's how we know. That's why I back, you can see all these steps forward now. Oh, I get it. That's what we're doing. When it comes to encountering Jesus Christ, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, are filled with the Spirit, produce the fruit of the Spirit, exercise the gifts of the Spirit, who's going to be encountered when people walk through the door? The Spirit. And who is the Spirit? God. Because God is three in one. One, so it's still God. So that's where they encounter Christ. And being empowered to live out faith, we talked about that strengthening, right? That's the point, strengthened. And then serving the needs of those around us. That's the last part, right? So that's that vision piece, and that's where all the gift test came into play. And then we came down to our mission. How does that whole thing and that whole test of gifts work in tandem with our mission? And what is our mission? To reconcile man to God through the proclamation of the gospel for the express purpose of his conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. What is one of the gifts? The idea of proclaiming the gift of evangelism, gift of prophecy, whatever you want to call it, there are gifts there. But do I only witness if I feel like I have the gift of evangelism? How do I know that if I'm not gifted with the gift of evangelism, I'm still expected to speak Christ? How do I know? Yes, absolutely. Where? He's right, but where? Great Commission. Go ye therefore and do what? How do I teach? Two ways. And it's something we used to say at the Wilds all the time, right? Your talk talks. That's one way you teach. You talk. You have to speak. And your walk talks. By example. So in other words, I can tell my kids all day long how to be in character and how they ought to be, how they ought to deal with their anger and how they ought to deal with in kindness and how they ought to be gentle to their brothers and sisters and not, you know, snippy and snippy, all this kind of business. I can tell them all day long, but if I turn around and treat them a certain way that is antithetical to what I said, how do you think they're actually going to grow up? Not by what I told them, but what I showed them. That's why they both have to match. Your walk talks and your talk talks. And the walk actually talks more than your talk, but both are necessary. You have to teach. Teaching all nations. So that's how I know that whether or not I'm gifted with evangelism or not, I need to be doing it. That's the goal. So there is a proclamation of the gospel. There is a reconciliation to man. And what gifts might go toward reconciliation? Any idea? If you're talking about prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, administration, mercy, evangelism, what gifts might go toward reconciliation? Mercy. That would be one. Giving. That would be another. Serving. Absolutely. Teaching, absolutely. Exhorting. Exhorting, huge. Exhorting, because exhorting can either be encouragement or conviction. It goes both ways. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And sometimes that is just a good, hey, buddy, you're doing great, shot in the arm. And so we rise above the sin. And the other time, we're in the middle of it. Hey, buddy, get out. So it goes both ways, exhortation. So there are almost every single one of these gifts goes toward reconciliation in some way, shape, or form. How do you overcome evil with good if you do not serve? Because what is overcoming evil with good? I sat there and didn't lash back? Someone yelled at me and I just sat there like a doormat and took it? What, how do you overcome evil with good? You have to turn around and do good to the extent that it is overcoming the evil that came at you. So there is a measure of service there that is huge, huge. You're serving people. Does that mean they're not going to take whatever you do and throw it right back in your face? No. They probably will first couple times. But then there's the rest of it. There's the exhortation. And definitely the mercy, because who do you have to show mercy to? Who does God show mercy to? The deserving? The undeserving. God, you only show mercy to the undeserving because you are withholding from people, by your mercy, what they deserve. He's withholding from us anger, wrath, judgment, hell. He's withholding all of that from us. That's mercy, withholding what you do deserve so that he can come in with grace and give you what you don't deserve. So mercy always comes first. Always. And so mercy is right there, top of the list, because you are going to be tempted to repay evil for evil and act in kind. Yeah, that's just going to happen. So when it comes to reconciliation, man to man, really, God to man first. Man to God, I should put it that way, because God is always pursuing. Man to God, and then man to man. That requires these gifts, and each of us have them. And so we looked at our vision, We look at our mission, especially conformity to Christ, and then we go down and we get to the last part of today, which is what is on the screen behind me, and I apologize because it's really light, hard to see. But if you have your paper, it's right in front of you too, hopefully. Core values. Why do we choose core values? Now, in every organization, typically they tell you to choose maybe 3 to 5, right? And how many do I have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I have 7. So I'm at best, I'm 2 over. Sorry. That goes back to the whole detail thing, right? Sorry. But we're 2 over. But what you have here is really a listing of every core value of typically every church under the sun, right? And it starts with accountability. Why? Why is that top list? Because it's A. Well, they're actually in alphabetical order, but it does start with accountability. For none of us lives to himself. That's why. None of us lives to himself. And that's really the problem today, because what have we taught everybody? That they need to fold back in on themselves. I can't love you properly unless I love who properly? Well, guess what? No man ever yet hated his own soul, the scripture says. So there's a farce right there. Right out the door that goes by one verse of scripture. No man yet ever hated his own soul. So all this self-love bit, all it's doing is teaching you to fold back in on you. Take care of yourself. Do this for yourself. It's all about yourself. No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. That's the other half of it too. For whether we live unto who? And that's the goal. That's the accountability factor. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And that's out of Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 12. We start there because that's really the crux of the matter. We live and die unto God. So nothing is just this won't matter, and it only has to do with me and my little world, and it only has to do with what I want out of my little world. It all has to do with how I live and die to God and how I keep accountable to him in every activity and every desire and everything that I do. And so that's where we start. And then we move to excellence. Accountability, then excellence. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the, that's the word right there, glory. Do to the glory of who? Yourself. To really promote yourself and look really good in front of people so they'll go, oh, if I could just be like you. No, all to the glory of God. All to the glory. That's excellence. Whatsoever you do. What is left out of there? You know when you sign a contract and they have all that little fine writing? And here are your 5 to 8 paragraphs of 0.6 pica font exclusions. And they just go right, they basically exclude everything but one thing. But it sounds like it's giving you the world until you read the exclusions. What's left out of whatsoever? What's the little fine writing exclusion there? Sounds ridiculous to ask, right? Nothing. Everything is included. So everything we do is done to the glory of God. Everything. Everything. So we have accountability and we have excellence. And the other half of excellence is this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, that is sober-minded, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. And all manner of, the word is lifestyle. It's here conversation, and all manner of living. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Coming right out of the Old Testament. How many believe that nothing, not one word of the Old Testament will ever apply to anything in the New? Except for the writers of Scripture who say this does. This does. Totally does, because he's quoting from the Old Testament. So he's talking about whatever we do, and he's talking about our lifestyle. And he's differentiating between what two types of lifestyle? The old, in our ignorance, and the new, in our enlightenment, as God has enlightened us. That's excellence. That's a tall order to fill. That's a hugely tall order. To be holy all day long, to be holy in every part of my lifestyle, to be holy, because what does that cover? That covers my actions and, more importantly, my reactions. right? Reactions are the worst. That's where you get caught. Oftentimes, you're good with your actions. You deliberately plan to do something, so you go execute. Your reaction means something was executed upon you, whether you wanted it to be or not. And so you react. And there was this little teeny, itty-bitty, tiny blue book that they used to always give out when worked at Camp at the Wilds. I don't know why I keep bringing that up, but it's just there. And it's the little blue book was called Your Reactions Are Showing. And it was this little tiny thing. You could read it in 5 minutes. But it was so spot on, so spot on. How do you react when? Well, if it's whatsoever I do is to the glory of God, and I'm supposed to be holy in all manner of my living, that covers not just my actions, but my reactions. It covers my planning. What are my short-term goals? What are my midterm goals? What are my long-term goals? It covers the way I deal with my family. It covers the way I deal with my workplace. It covers the way I deal with whatever. It covers everything. Excellence is the goal. Excellence. And then hospitality. Because what's happened is, we understand none of us lives to ourselves and none of us dies to ourselves. We get that. So we are pointed to God. We understand that we should be excellent in everything that we do. And what is one thing that ought to really stand out excellently? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. And that's one thing I think this particular body does incredibly well at. How do I know? How do I know this body does incredibly well at hospitality? It all goes back to treatment. Right? People are inviting here and there. People want to have fellowship with you. When you come into the building, they're all trying to greet and kind of discern where you are in life and spirit so they can be an encouragement to you. It's like hospitality just exudes. And it comes from the top down. It's something that this particular pastor and his wife have for 40-some years just infused into the congregation. It came straight from the top. Hospitality, given to it, just given to it. It's one thing to be given to drink, and it's another thing to be given to a vice, but to be given to hospitality, that's huge. That's huge. And then respect. Why respect? Oops, did I skip one? Or inspiration, I'm sorry. Inspiration. I think I skipped one. Sorry, back up. Inspiration. What do I mean by inspiration? Well, if you read the verse, you'll know, but don't cheat yet. Inspiration. If this is a core value, inspiration, what am I talking about? You're right on the cusp of it. You're about right. In other words, it's part of it. You're not wrong at all. It actually is part. Inspiration. Most of us might say, you mean to be inspired by the Spirit. No, we already covered that. This inspiration, and we'll go right through the verse here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 to 3 and 7 and 8, because I put together basically a sentence. The Apostle Paul, the sentence that he put into Thessalonians, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, what? Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three things, work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. For ye were, the word should be examples modernly, but here in the King James, it's ensamples. You were examples to whom? All these believers. And where were these believers? They were in Macedonia, they were in Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad. And what was the result? That last line. You did so much by your example and your proclamation, with your work of faith, your labor, love, and your patient hope. You did so much in all these areas that when we came here, we didn't even have to say anything. You did it all. What an inspiration your faith is. It inspires everyone to jump on and do what you're doing. It was all over the place. You couldn't be stopped. And it showed. And man, that inspires people. When you come to a church, do you want to be inspired by the people sitting next to you? Do you want that at all to happen? I mean, it's almost, yes, sir.
I know there's sometimes that I'm partial. There's some people that have something that I want. I'll sit next to them or talk to them because they inspire me, because they have a certain gift that they are using for God's purpose. And it makes me feel convicted because I wish I had covetous. They usually have something in their gift that they share that makes me stronger in my weakness.
Amen. And you're exactly right. I could go through each and every one of you. Each and every one of you sitting here right now, and I can tell you how you inspire me personally, because it happens every single week. I could start with Steve. I could go right to Rick. I could go to Nanette. I could go to Mrs. Deno. I could come right up here, even to Timothy. I could go to Mrs. Bear. I can come right back to Pat and come all the way up the row, all the way till I get to Deb, and I could tell each and every one of you how every single week you inspire. You think, really? Yeah, I really could. I really could. Because each and every week you do it. You may not know you do, but you do. Every one of you. Every single one. You want to be inspired by the body. Otherwise, what are you attaining to? You can't see what's spiritually possible if the people around you don't show it. It goes back to that I can't versus I can. Or it goes back to I don't know how, but that one does. Clearly that one does. I need to find that out. And so you're inspired, and that's what brings you back to the same body, is because, man, these people are living it. And they're living it so much so, I know what I'm missing. Steve said it so well. I know what I'm missing. And I really want to sit next to you for about 5 good minutes, because I know I'm going to pick something up. And I'm going to walk out and say, that was the key to my next step in spiritual victory. I just got it. And we're going to be thanking God. I mean, just another reason to praise the Lord, right? And then we walk out of here and we got that next key. And the next week, we're like, okay, I took that step. I'm ready to take the next step. What am I missing? And we'll come into the body and there'll be that right there. She's got it. I got to go talk to her. I got to talk to him. Inspiration. All of this, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus, all of that just sounded, I mean, it was evident. It inspired. When we got there, the great grand apostles, so we're going to tell everyone, we didn't need to say a word. There was nothing for us to do. You did it all. How inspiring. That's inspirational. Now we'll go back to respect. Respect. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that's the goal. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. What is unfeigned? That's a fun word to look up. Yes. Unfaked. If we want to use another word that starts with F, unfaked would be the ideal. I'm actually going to go right through and pull it right up and give you the Thayer's definition on that. Unfeigned. Undisguised. In other words, it's sincere. So undisguised. Why would we disguise love or disguise or fake love? In other words, it's a deceit is what that is. So to feign something is to be deceitful with it. I'm pretending to enjoy your company. I'm pretending to like you. For what purpose? What am I hoping to get out of this? This is a self-serving thing when I am deceitful that way toward you. And is God anything about self-service? No. That's why the unfeigned love is not for me to get from you, but for me to give to you. That's the goal. And that's why he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart, pure motive, pure everything, fervently, on fire. That's the kind of mutual respect you want to see in a congregation. But if you've got sister so-and-so over here and sister so-and-so over there and they don't talk to each other because she makes me mad and she did this last week and you should have heard how so-and-so talked to me, and then you got brother so-and-so over here that won't talk to brother and so-and-so over there because, well, he's just an arrogant whatever and I just don't even. If you have that, you've got disaster. You have ready for a church split is what you are. But that's not respect. That's not respect. Pure heart. Fervently see that you love, have an unfeigned, unfaked, undeceitful love of the brethren. And then we get down to the last two, and they kind of go together, the two S's, service and stewardship. Service, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. And what should we always be doing? Abounding in the work of the Lord, right? That's what we should always be doing. But what do we typically find ourselves abounding in? What kind of work? Is it work of the Lord or work of something else? What are we like 90-some percent taken up of our day and our week and our month and our year working on? Right? And so when it comes to service, that is a key element to continuation of church. That is a key element of actually fulfilling the ideal of building up the body of Christ. And that's what you have to have. You can't be vibrant if you're not building that body. And you can't be vibrant if you're not reaching out. There is no vibrance. It is a church just closed unto itself. And that goes back to stewardship, right? Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Because it is required in stewards that a man do what? That a man be found faithful. It's required. It isn't suggested. It isn't kind of a, well, it's okay if you're kind of not really. It's required. It's required. And so you say, man, you chose seven. Yeah, seven, because these are the core values of almost any church under the sun. It isn't just here, but we wanted to put them on paper so that we could go back to these and say, wow. It's exciting to see what God will do in my life in the area this year. What will God do with my accountability to him? How will he elevate that and raise it? Because, you know, you can see how far you've come, and that's what's awesome. As you look back down the road and you say, from the day I was saved till now, how far has God brought me? That is the measure of accountability of me to him. That's what it reflects. And we can say, man, it is going to be awesome to see God really elevate that excellent spirit, what I do, to see what kind of things that he will bring to mind to help me even more do all to the glory of God. And to really start to put that in perspective over here where I just wasn't seeing it before. But I wasn't seeing it before there because he was working on me over here. It's not a bad thing I wasn't seeing it before. It's because he was working over here. But now that that is kind of there, now he's going to move me on and I'm going to start to see the next awesome thing. And it's going to be exciting to watch you kind of go up that ladder. And then on and on it goes with all of these. In hospitality, what's God going to do? In inspiration, how's God going to use me to be an inspiration to other people? In respect, in service, in stewardship, what is God going to do? This is the exciting thing as we get to watch now. God's going to work. He's going to do his thing. And when he does, man, are we just going to kind of have to stand back and get out of the way lest we get run over? But it's going to be an amazing thing, just an amazing thing. And that's what's really thrilling about kind of this year as God tarries in 2025. Say, well, it's almost April, aren't you a little late on that? I get it, but we got another, what, 8 months left? Kind of nine-ish. But in these next 8 to 9 months, won't it be awesome to walk together and see God move? And that's really what's awesome. We're going to watch this whole mission thing and this whole vision thing and all these core value things. We're going to watch them bud and come to life together. And what I dare say is that you guys, all of us here, are going to continue by the power of the Spirit and the strength of God to inspire those sitting right around you. And it's going to be to such a degree that inspiration that these new ideals will pop in your and my heads of different avenues of service, of different avenues of ministry, of things that we could now do that we couldn't used to do before because our eyes weren't open to it. And then we'll see God start to work in the midst of the congregation to start to do some, not just in reach, but outreach, because that's going to overflow. You can't contain that stuff. When they have all these revivals in Tennessee and on these university campuses and in all these other states that are kind of all south right now, but in all these other places, when they have these revivals, what brings that about? People? The Spirit of God does. But what does the Spirit of God use? The people. The Spirit has to work. There's no doubt about it. Without the Spirit, it's dead. Without me, you can do how much? No thing. But with me, if you abide, you will produce fruit. That's just a guarantee. If you abide in the vine, you will produce that fruit. Because if you don't produce fruit, what's going to happen to you in the vine? You're going to prune that thing. Well, actually, it's not like you being cut off the vine. It's pruning all the stuff that is taking nutrients that shouldn't be there so the nutrients can go to the right place in that vine because you're already in it. So you're going to be pruned. You're going to be pruned. And that's a good thing. That pruning is a good thing. We went off and I say, well, pruning means to cut off something dying. Cutting off, unless I missed it, hurts. You ever been cut? Feel really good? No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a good hurt. It refocuses attention. And that's going to be great to watch what God does. So as we've gone through this, we now get to examine, and we've seen our gifts, and we now get to examine, and this is what I want to leave with you. What way can you put your gifts into practice here? That they aren't currently in use. You know what they are. Where can we plug them in? You'll have to be creative with me because I can't think of it all. I'll give you an example. Like my wife was talking about mercy, right? And how, yeah, you're not the most merciful person, pal. So I've asked, along when I first got in back last January, I went over to Sheila and I said, Sheila, I am not the most observant person all the time. And because of that, I miss when people are hurting. I miss when people are in pains. I miss when people have things going on in life. I miss some of that stuff. But guess who doesn't miss it? And so I was like, could you like maybe give me a pop? Hey, buddy. Over here. This one over here. I mean, you're missing it. So I've asked for that kind of help because I know she's plugged in that way. And if you've ever been around Annette any period of time, you know that she visits people who used to be part of the church but are no more, the ladies. And she still keeps up with them. Probably one of the best people to still keep track to show that there's actual care beyond whether or not you walk in our door. We only care about you if you come here. Otherwise, forget it. She cares. And so she will also make known certain things. Did you know this? Did you know that? And I'm like, nope. Because I'm kind of like, you know, guy blind to that kind of stuff. So what are ways we can plug in? I can't think of it all. I'm not that creative. I mean, I'm creative in one way because I have a business built on creativity, but I'm not creative in another. And so I need that help. And so should you think of a way that you can plug your gift in and you see a need in the body for that, bring it up. Then let me allow you to do this as well. In what ways can we serve our community out of the doors this year? What ways can we serve? Because we ask the Lord, we often pray and ask God to bring people in that we can minister to. But how will they be reached to come in? Do we just hope they'll see the sign? Drive in? You know, we had a couple come in way back at the kind of a few months back. And the reason they came in was because the husband drove a truck and he would pass the sign every day for years. 2 or 3 years he was passing the sign. And then one day he actually thought, what is that building? Which means he saw the sign and it did not register at all that it was a church. And I'm like, well, when you looked at the building, did you notice the big white cross thing? Did that kind of give you any clue? No. Really? Well, I could tell maybe it was religious, but I didn't know what it was. Oh, okay. So we can't just wait for them to drive by and notice the sign. That isn't going to work. So there are things that we now need to think of. What can we do? And I'll give you an example, and then we'll be done, because my alarm did go off. I know it did. We have 4 acres of property sitting out here, right, all around us. We're on, what, 2 of them or 1.5 of them or whatever it is that's actually paved and building, maybe 2, because we're about half and half. We got half grass, half facility. What could you do with 2 acres of property during spring, summer, and fall months? We got a lot of property. It will fit a lot of people. And in case you haven't noticed, we have like 60 parking spaces out there, of which we take up 10. So there are 50 parking spots that are free and clear. Does it have to be a Sunday morning service? Could it be a Friday evening thing? Could it be a whatever that we do? Just to, not to a service we're not inviting people. We're not trying to get them in the door. That's scary. But if they come to a community event that we take 10 or 15 minutes to give like a devotional challenge or invitation of salvation, that's one thing. You know, and just hold a fun activity that has that right at the end. Make sure that we get the God. You have to proclaim. You can't just have a lot of fun and do nothing. So you have to proclaim. We get that. But what could we do with this property in the spring, summer, and fall? And then who would we have to work that? You know, like to come out and be a part, you know, I'll do this part of it, I'll do that part of it. You know, these are the things we want to leave with you. How can I plug in here in the body and really minister my gift? And how can we reach out and do likewise? Those are the things I want to leave with us to think on. And I'd love to know your thoughts in the weeks and months to come as God puts that in your mind. Any comments or other before we close? Okay, then let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at this particular topic, this Project 25. Thank you for putting in our hearts to share together as a church body and to really be in tune to what you might do through us, how you might desire to work through us. And so, Lord, give us your wisdom in that regard. Help us, dear God, to walk in the Spirit and the spiritual gifts, and help us then to understand from you how we should plug in, how they would be best used here. And then, Lord God, give us an unction to really reach out and to just love on people in our community, to show them Jesus Christ, to proclaim to them Jesus Christ, to be able to invite them. And Lord, we would pray that you would do a work this year that we just do not expect. And Father, we ask that it be a work that we do not expect, so that the only one that can really get the praise and the glory for any kind of tremendous result is you. That you might draw people to yourself as we simply lift you up. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed this morning.